You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Wednesday, January 25th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts 2017. Yeah. In the morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm sorry, I'm going back in time to a better time in our lives.
Not really.
No, it's not.
A rough time last year.
Hey, man, this is the now FSTA award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. How about that, Corey Parsons?
Yep, no doubt about it. Shout out to us, yes. FSTA award-winning Rookie of the Year, new coming platform to the scene. So shout out to the whole team, the whole fan, and of course, a big special shout out to our colleagues, Jake Seeley, Joe Pisapia, and Benny Ricciardi for winning the FSTA Award for the best radio program.
How about that?
Best live radio program for On Target Fantasy. So there you go right there. I'm not a big fan of the video game music, but the analysis is definitely spot on with those gentlemen, and they do a great job. So shout out to Benny, Jake, and Joe Pisapia.
How about that, Tony?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I had them on last night, the Fantasy Gold, the last 15 minutes of the show. And it's funny. I told those guys, I love that show. I listen to that show at noon a lot of times while I'm working around the house. And I love it. Maybe for a lot of people will think the wrong reasons that you look at it. Benny's the guy there. He's got a lot of statistical information.
Yes.
And Jake Seeley and Joe Pisapia are the two of the most aggravating know-it-alls in all radio. But they're very good at what they do, and they're very informative, that you listen and you can disagree with it. And who wants to listen to a radio show where everybody's kissing each other's ass? I love that show. I really do. I think they've done a great job, and it was well-deserved.
So very exciting evening for us, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All good stuff going around. Also, and perhaps some would say, more importantly, my streak is over!
Oh, you cashed.
Ho-ho! I listened to every second of the DFS lineup lock show last night with Tony and Benny, and now I cash. I feel like there's a direct correlation.
More than likely, it probably
I'll
is.
Tell you. I doubled my money two nights in a row, and it's been crazy. It's the last game of the night where I've been pretty far out of the standings, and a couple of performances at the end of the night. Last night it was Tyson Chandler and
yes,
and Carl Anthony Towns bringing it home for me, and another good night. It's been a complete roll, and we got a little thrown at us again with Kawhi Leonard. It was so funny because I try to get all my lines before the show because it's very hard while we're doing a show. And then all these things happen to keep giving people the information and changing your own lineups. It's like people, it's crazy. Like, I can't even explain what it's like. But I put Kawhi Leonard in my lineup 5 minutes before the show because you know what? That wasn't a real injury. They just sat him out to give him a rest against a team that was inferior. And then he's out again. I'm like, oh, man. And then you get Kyle Anderson on the cheap, so you got him in there. You have to put LaMarcus Aldridge in, and it changed the whole aspect of things last night.
It was extremely, extremely exciting. You had Kyle Anderson in there, as you guys mentioned. With no Kawhi Leonard, no Jonathan Simmons, it was an easy play. And again, once again, you're scrambling. No, Jahlil Okafor ruled out with 3 minutes to go.
That was huge for me. That was huge. The Nerlens Noel actually was probably the move that put me over the top. So I had Marcin Gortat in lineups, and I had Al Horford in lineups, but you saved $2,000 by putting Noel in there,
right?
And that's what that had me upgrade in other areas. I think what I was able to upgrade like a $3,400 play to Tyson Chandler at the utility spot, which was a difference there. And that's why we tell people all the time, when people are out in daily fantasy, it's not like you just put one guy in; it changes your whole lineup.
It legitimately changes everything, and that was the case last night where it felt good to win money, Corey, rather than lose money.
You don't want to be a donator. Be like the fantasy executive.
Is the fantasy executive winning money on FanDuel?
No. The fantasy executive is not. Not yet.
So, I do not want to be like the fantasy executive.
No, you're right. I wasn't talking about this particular hobby.
No. What hobby were you speaking
about? Just fantasy in general. I try not to be a depositor.
Yes.
I try to be a withdrawer.
Is that a word?
my pullout game is strong.
I feel like you lined that up, and then you weren't.
No, I didn't.
You weren't going to say it, and you're like, oh, this is too good. I got to say it now. Is that kind of how that went?
Well, listen, we were talking about making deposits and making withdrawals, so I prefer, whatever, to withdraw.
Yeah. You crack yourself up here at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I'm sorry. I'm silly. You know how that is. I've had a problem for the last
people.
6 years. Yeah, exactly. We need to win Best Radio Show next year. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, I'm happy for Joe.
Oh, yeah, I am for them, but I'm competitive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like the competitive. I think, and if we could all just, if one could win from the other one, it would be a great thing for the station.
I agree with that. Hey,
you know what we're doing over here.
We do know what we're doing, absolutely. Without Kawhi Leonard, obviously the Spurs know what they're doing, is they win back-to-back games, one against the worst team in the NBA, and one against not a bad team.
One of the better teams in the NBA.
The Spurs against the Raptors. And Tony, you said Jesus. How come? What's going on?
I can't believe this Toronto team. I think it's kind of a fraud, to tell you the truth.
Well, no DeMar DeRozan last night, though, to be fair.
To be fair, but, San Antonio, they're at home, right? And
right,
San Antonio
right.
has Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker, and Paul Gasol out.
Yes, all true. All correct.
Right? So, and I look at it, Toronto, every time it seems like they play a team that has, a shot at winning something, they lose.
They do.
It happens every time, it seems. It's crazy to me. And I got to give it up to the Spurs. This is amazing to go in there on this game in Toronto and with that team on paper and put up that effort was amazing last night. And this is a well-coached team. And it's tough to look at it because, look, Jonathan Simmons, he's not even a great player, and he was out too in that game.
Yep.
They got way down. Patty Mills again. I think two nights ago, that was the thing, is I went with Mills when everybody else went Murray. And last night, the same thing. I went with Mills and Nelson, cheap point guards there. And that worked out on both occasions.
It certainly did, as Patty Mills played 30 minutes compared to DeJounte Murray's 23. And in those 30 minutes of action for Patty Mills, 18 points, 3 assists, and 3 steals, compared to Murray's 11 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. Patty Mills gets the job done 2 nights in a row. My man, Davies Bertans, he hit 12 points off the bench. Yeah. He looks good, Tony.
I was thinking about him last night once the show was over and I turned on the game.
Right.
I'm like, this Sussman's mad.
Yeah. He's good.
Davies.
He's good, this dude. I'm telling you.
Yeah, he had 15 minutes last night, but he turned that 15 minutes
12
around.
12 points, 2 assists.
Coming into that minimum salary. So, yeah, that's that's the kind of plays that you need on a night-to-night basis.
LaMarcus Aldridge, 21-7, 2 assists, a steal. David Lee, once again, 11-5. Kyle Anderson does enough. He is 8-7-4. That's enough, Tony.
Yeah, as long as we're getting him the minimum salary. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what the Kawhi Leonard situation. I didn't expect it to go this long. But you got to be careful. Kyle Anderson's price starts getting up and starts rising. You can't just keep throwing him in there.
No.
Great at $3,000. We get to $4,000, it's a different ballgame.
And that's actually to bring up a player that I want to talk about in 1 second. So I'm glad you talked about that, Tony. Your boy, Corey, out of North Carolina, Danny Green.
Danny Green.
0 of 8 from 3-point range last night.
Yeah, Danny Green coming through. Like you said, you guys said yesterday, obviously Danny Green is a better NBA player.
Not last night. Last night he was just a bad player.
Danny is a fantasy option. 34 minutes, 4 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, a steal. 4 block shots, though, for Danny Green. So wasn't the end all, but definitely at 3,500. He did barely hit value last night. Well, he did more than barely hit value. He did hit value last night, but still not the kind of play you're looking for.
No. Kyle Lowry, 30-5. 5 turnovers, though, without DeMar DeRozan. I liked Norman Powell last night. Tone, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Starting for DeRozan, and have about 39 minutes for Powell in the starting lineup.
I played them both last night. I thought Lowry, it was so tempting with Isaiah Thomas and John Wall there, but I saved a little money with Lowry, so I went that way. And then Powell, I went back and forth, and I said, you know what, I'm going to take a shot on that. We talked about it to the show, on the lineup block show, me and Benny. And Benny goes, well, you're going to play Powell. What do you think of Tyson Ross? I'm in baseball mode. Terrence Ross. I said, I think they both played 30 minutes in this game, and they play small. You saw Sillinger get the start, but he only played 12 minutes there.
Right.
They both did play, and they both came up fantasy-wise. But the reason why I went Powell he was cheaper. And Terrence Ross is a shooter, and he doesn't rebound. He doesn't get assists. And Powell got a little bit of everything, including two steals, two assists, four rebounds to go along with the points. I'm going back to Powell tonight.
Called the shot already.
Yeah, I mean, DeMar DeRozan, one of these guys that have already been ruled out. You know Powell most likely will be in the starting lineup. And at least over on FanDuel, I'm assuming DraftKings as well, he's a minimum salary. You know, he's legitimately bare minimum.
Yeah, he's 3,400. So he's 400 over tonight. On DraftKings? In the game tonight.
Okay, on FanDuel, he, I believe, is bare minimum. So there you go. A guy that you probably going to need to get.
Got to put those guys in there, yeah.
Yeah, got to get in your. And you go back to Kyle Lowry as well here, Tone?
There's a lot of guard options tonight. I actually like Damian Lillard against the Lakers, who are just absolutely terrible defensively.
They are horrible.
And he's a little cheaper, so I'm going back. Yeah, I'm going back to I'm going to Damian Lillard tonight.
That makes sense.
Damian Lillard, the best.
That's once.
Athlete / rapper.
You think so?
Yeah.
Best athlete / rapper?
Probably all time.
What about like Mace? Mace is a good rapper. Okay, athlete.
What? Mace play basketball?
Yeah, in like the celebrity games.
Oh, he played college basketball. I was talking about NBA.
Right. I'm just saying, like, but Mace is like the better rapper, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, he does that for a living. Well,
sure.
He's a pastor for a living.
And Dame plays basketball for a living. So it's like, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying.
Okay, I get it. But no, if you look at, like, professional athletes, Dame Lillard is the best rapper / professional athlete. Shaq had a couple good jams.
And he was also in Kazam.
He made a couple of movies.
You don't want to forget about that.
Yeah, you know. Dame Lillard, look up some of his rapping exploits. Dame Lillard is a talented young man.
Do any of these guys, Sussmania, live up to John Cena? Really?
Their time is up, my time is now. So, we're in life.
No, but Dame is good. No, for real. In real life, Dame is good.
I trust you. Yeah. Tony, you brought up a really good point that you talked actually that last night on the Lineup Lock show, and it really held true. When it comes to Kyle Anderson, right? Like, he was awesome at the bare minimum price. Two nights in a row, gets you past value, and everyone has him in their lineup. Like, totally makes sense as long as you're paying attention at 6:45 each of the last two nights. Well, one name that we've kind of been throwing in over the last week and a half or so that we have been just putting in our lineup, oh, if we get, like, the prices, whatever, we're going to get him in there, is Joe Ingles out there in Utah. The problem has become, as you guys talked about last night, he's not the bare minimum anymore. He's now over $4,000, at least on a FanDuel, I believe DraftKings as well. And he only saw 20 minutes last night.
29, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Put up 3 points and 3 rebounds, and that's it. 20 minutes of action.
He hit now, 1 3-pointer.
Now,
that was his game.
The guy that you were talking about on last night's show was Alec Burks. And Burks' return, he played more minutes than Ingles last night off the bench, and he had 13 points. I know Benny was raring to play him last night.
Yeah, I tried talking Benny out of playing him.
I know,
and the reason I didn't want to play
Burks hard-headed
was the back-to-back nights. It didn't make sense to throw a guy out there back-to-back nights. And you saw them split time 20-something minutes. And the Ingles thing was funny because when I initially look at the things in the morning, I'm saying, oh, he's got a good matchup here, Joe Ingles. Then I saw the price and I was like, oh my God, what happened here? Like, we're talking about a $3,000 player that all of a sudden went up $2,000 salary. The other guy that, and he's a good player. But we were all playing Tyreek Evans when he's like 3,700.
Yep.
Now he's playing 20 minutes a game, and his price is almost $6,000. Like, you can't do that.
The only guy seemingly that you can do that for is Joel Embiid, right? Like, who's playing only 28 minutes a game, whose price is very, very high, but he's putting up the value.
They got a big problem in Philly.
They certainly
these
do.
These guys can all play.
They certainly
all big
do.
Dudes. And they got to move. Nerlens Noel last night looked like you got to keep these guys on the court. These guys are good.
I know. That's why they got to trade one of them.
They got to figure out what they're going to do.
Yeah. Back to Utah and Denver for a second. Utah loses both two nights in a row on a back-to-back. Derek Favors, who I thought was going to have a good game. I told you that, Tony. 18-5. George Hill, 17-5-3. Off the bench, Boris Diaw at 18. And Alec Burks, as I said, at 13. Over to Denver, you talked about how you wanted to get Nikola Jokic in your lineup. It was going to be tough because of the value at the power forward position, but you're going to try to do it in at least some lineup here. 23-11-6. Two steals, three blocks. This guy's insane.
He's going crazy right now, and he's a fun player to watch.
Sure is.
Yep.
Yeah, so here's what's happening. DraftKings has an algorithm where they account for defensive efficiency. And anyone against the Utah Jazz, because they're the number one team defensively, the superstars are getting to be bargains to me. Like, a Jokic last night was 8,500. I'm saying that's way too low. So he's got to be in your lineup. But there's so many guys here that, like, you want to get in your lineup. The night before, Russell Westbrook was 11,300 or something. I said, that's crazy. I'm putting him in no matter what. So I think you can exploit superstars against the Jazz. Now, you don't want to put marginal players there. Jokic is in a world of his own. The only problem this guy has is the foul trouble. He can't play defense. And as long as they keep him out of foul trouble, he's going to put up almost triple-doubles from the center position every night.
Yeah, I think he's double-doubled in 16 of his last 24 games, something crazy like that. He's on a very hot streak.
Even the assists, like he had six assists. He's had games where he's had double-digit assists as well.
Let me ask you fellas this. When you are speaking about this Nuggets and Utah Jazz game,
yes.
Was Darrell Arthur a play last night? Because for the minimum salary, he went crazy.
Yes, Darrell Arthur is one of these guys that we really... I hate that he's even there, right? Like, he's just an annoyance to the guys that I want to play. But at 16, minimum salary, 22 minutes of action, 16 and 8, it's just going to be so hard to only decide between Darrell Arthur or Kenneth Faried. Those are guys that I just will never wind up playing at this point.
This Denver team is absolutely one of the toughest teams to figure
predict,
out.
Yeah.
Last night, Danilo Gallinari was a guy that was highly owned in fantasy, and he only put up 11 points, 3 assists in that one. The Arthur situation, and then you have Chandler, right? Chandler's another guy that they play the front court, and then Kenneth Faried. And one night to the next, you don't know what you're going to get. Faried took no shots the game before. He puts up 8 shots, puts up 11 points, 7 rebounds and assists. Chandler played 35 minutes. He played 20 this night. You just never know what you can get. And then Nurkic, who is a guy that people liked, he played 8 minutes in this game.
Yeah, of course, because they don't like Nurkic. I don't really want to play Nurkic. 8 minutes last night for him. Gary Harris, 27 minutes, comes back down to earth a little bit with 10 points. It was Jameer Nelson that was a better play last night, 17-7. While Jamal Murray, the rookie out of Kentucky, he had a 5-5. Let's take the break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little Clippers and Philadelphia without Okafor, without Embiid. How good was Nerlens Noel? We'll break it down next on the Roto Experts.
This dude just hit me and say I didn't like the video game music.
I think this is what an 8-bit trap. This isn't video game music.
This sounds more like this is not 8-bit trap. This is 8-bit, but this is not trap.
What was this called, Floria?
It's another one of those Amster jams. It's actually not 8-bit. It just kind of sounds that way.
Oh, it's an Amster jam.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. Right. Sorry about that.
Did you watch the New Edition movie last night?
No, I saw it on Facebook or Twitter, though.
Yeah. I need to...
I didn't see it there. No, I saw it on Amazon. Is it on Amazon?
It was on BET last night. No. I had the DVR, and I'll probably get a chance to watch it this weekend. I heard it was very good. That's why I was... Kind of figured nobody saw it, but
did you know that when I was in what grade was I in? Sixth grade, I want to. Was it sixth grade? No.
Couldn't have been when you were in sixth grade.
It was eighth grade. I was in eighth grade, and I heard two people talking about something that was on that network, right? Some show they were watching on that network. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, you guys watch Bet?
Oh God!
And they're like, what did you just say? Well, yeah, the Bet Network.
Yeah.
And they're like, no.
Yeah.
I got a legitimate question for Corey.
Oh, yo, boy.
That goes with this Bet Network.
Here we go.
So, Corey, if you go, let's just say you go to a Kid Rock concert, right?
Yeah.
You call it Croc?
Like it's in Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He doesn't go
it's
there.
In Georgia. And you're the only black guy sitting in your section. Does that intimidate you?
No, I've been in that situation.
My whole life.
Just about, yeah, you know what I mean? I've been able to,
yeah,
you know, I've been able to, what's the word I'm looking for? I've been able to cross over, you know what I'm saying? So, no, that's a situation I've been in just about every day, you know what I'm saying? So, it doesn't really come as a thing to me. But, in a situation, a Kid Rock concert in Georgia, I would probably avoid that. But for the most part, unless Kid Rock was performing in Fulton County, then I would feel more comfortable. But then it probably wouldn't be nobody there. But that's a situation I'll avoid. But on a day to day basis, FSTA conferences, things like that I go to and stuff like that, it's normally just I'm normally on the island anyway.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm going back to the new edition, right?
Yeah.
I was at a concert where I went in Providence, Rhode Island, and I was in my probably 20s.
Yeah.
And I took a girl with me there. We were the only white person in the section, right? We're the only white people.
See, New Edition?
And then a gun was shot, and they stopped the concert for a while. Yeah, see, New Edition. Yeah. And a gun was shot, and the concert stopped for a while. I was, like, really contemplating whether I should go back in there.
Well, they probably didn't think you had the gun, but at that point it was probably time to go.
Yeah, but I stayed in there. So that's what made me think when you were talking about New Edition B. That was like, jeez.
Yeah,
I was like, that was kind of crazy.
No, but it was trending big time last night. So I guess it was pretty. Everybody says it was excellent. That it was done. That was very well done. So I just wanted to know if anybody checked it out.
Tony, I just have to ask you a question before we get into the Sixers here. You wrote a lot of polls on Twitter, and we're going over them each and every day here, including today. We'll go over some polls. Are we positive that there's no voter fraud in these polls?
No. Okay. We're not positive, to tell you the truth. That's one of the things. But according to 49% of America, it's nothing to worry about.
Well, I don't know if you said that, because our president says he's going to have a major investigation into voter fraud, including those registered to vote in two states, those who are illegals, and even those registered to vote who are dead, and many for a long time. Depending on results, we will strengthen our voting procedures.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wish Donald, I wish he meant it. No one's ever going to do this.
Well, he's going to run an investigation. He's having an investigation.
They need internet voting.
What are they
voting?
No. Then the Russians will make sure they pick our president every year.
Well, supposedly they already did. So what's the problem?
Yeah,
so 350 million people live in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
We allow people to have credit card transactions. We allow all these things happening on the internet, but we don't allow voting. Yet it is so fraudulent when you go there and you put a little mark on a piece of paper. If you really want it, but they don't want everybody to vote. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, they don't do. They do not
want
everybody to vote.
Well, one side doesn't want everybody to vote. Yeah. One side does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what happens? Can I just ask an honest question? What happens if
everybody voted, we'd have more than two parties.
Yeah, that's true. Now,
oh, that's true too.
Now,
that
Corey,
makes sense.
What if he looks into voter fraud and then he finds out he's lost?
The president just tweeted.
No, where do you think I read that from?
Oh, okay.
He didn't answer my question.
Say that again, Greg.
If he searches into voter fraud and finds out, oh, shit, all these dead people voted for me.
nothing to see here. Keep it moving. Nothing to see here.
He's also making
He's not worried about it.
Yeah, he's making his Supreme Court pick next Thursday.
He's out of Clinton.
That'll be scary.
Yeah, the Clintons. The Clintons are the ones that, get all these dead people.
Yes.
Because they caused some of them.
I don't know why I do this with you. Philadelphia defeated the Clippers last night in Blake Griffin's return, 120-110, without Okafor, without Embiid. You saw Nerlens Noel play 29 minutes and have 19, 8-5, 2 steals, 3 blocks, 8-10 from the field. And Noel basically said, listen, it felt good to know I didn't have an inning. I didn't have a minutes limit last night.
Count.
I was going to play the entire game, and I felt it, and I was in the game, Tony.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he was immense last night, and if you watch the game, it was even better than these numbers pointed out. And this, I'll tell you what, the Sixers team beat a very good Clippers team, and T.J. McConnell was another reason why here. So the point guard position was a problem with Philadelphia. I don't think it's solved with T.J. McConnell, but I'm at least open to the possibility of watching this thing play out.
Robert Covington, 14-8. Ersan Ilyasova had 10-5. Then off the bench, another minimum guy, Rashawn Holmes, was the backup center last night without Embiid, without Okafor. He had 18-3 in 19 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He can play. There's no doubt in my mind this guy can play. When he gets an opportunity to get in that starting lineup, He looks like he belongs. This is another guy that if your team is going to take it to the next level, you want him as a sixth man, and I like him coming off the bench. But this is just all of a sudden now you're starting to see talent when you got guys like this on the bench.
3,700 was the price on DK last night, so he did a good job of hitting value. What is this, Rashawn Holmes?
Rashawn Holmes.
Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah.
Okay. Never seen it spelled like that before.
Dario Saric.
I call him Reekin.
Oh, that's cool, too. They be getting creative with these spellings.
Dario Saric, who expected to have a good game last night. 16-8 off the bench in 26 minutes. Saric was another cheap play that people liked last night.
Yeah, he's a guy. The only problem with all these Philadelphia guys, right? None of them play 30 minutes. The only guy that gets minutes consistently is Covington.
Yep.
I like Covington tonight, but there are games where Covington doesn't participate. He's on the court, but he doesn't participate because they have a lot of talent and they have a lot of big men. But he's a consistent player. He's a better basketball player than fantasy player.
15 attempts for him last night came through with 14 points, 8 boards.
For the Clips, we saw the return of Blake Griffin, who had a 30-minute cap last night. 12 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. Did have 6 turnovers,
though. Yeah, double-double right when he get back into action. The price was still high at 76, so...
No discount there.
No, you did not get a value for one Blake Griffin. Took 11 field goals last night.
11 shots?
11 shots. Yeah, 11 field goal attempts, excuse me.
DeAndre Jordan, 20 rebounds, 10 points. Austin Rivers had 20 points as well. J.J. Redick, 22. Ray Felton came off the bench. He really struggled, but Jamal Crawford did not. Shot it looks back for Jamal Crawford, 27 off the bench last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know
yeah
how,
if you,
you
need
know
a three-point shooter on your season-long team, go get him. Go get him. He's back.
There you go. Go get Jamal Crawford right now in your season-long basketball league. He is back. So the Wizards wore black last night at home against Boston.
You know what these two teams need?
What's
closure.
What's up with this?
They got beef from a couple weeks ago. A good, nice, hard physical playoff matchup will be it to get these two teams going away. But yeah, so that was the big thing last night with the Washington Wizards wearing black, I guess, to symbolize, you know, their beef with the Boston Celtics.
And they took it to the Celtics, 123-108.
Mm-hmm. They beat them down.
Led by 31 from Bradley Beal, 27-7-7 for John Wall. And then my guy, Markieff Morris, has just been outstanding over the past couple of weeks. 19 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks last night, Tony.
This is, you look at the Celtics can't defend big men. So Markieff Morris was an easy play for me tonight, last night. But they ended up being so much value with LaMarcus Aldridge and a couple other guys there that he didn't have him in every lineup. He's played well. The Otto Porter Jr. is tough to play because he's the fourth and fifth option in this offense, and they all play 30 minutes. So it's tough to get him in, even though I think he's an outstanding player. And then Marcin Gortat. His production has really dropped in the last 2 weeks. If you go back fantasy-wise, he hadn't cracked 30 points in his last 6 games fantasy. So Gortat's been slowing down as of late.
Yeah, Gortat has just not been as reliable as we're used to seeing from him. For the Boston Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, 25 points, 13 assists. I believe that's a season high for him. 1 of 6 from the three-point range. Al Horford, who you liked last night, pulled him out, though, Tony. He had 22 points. Jay Crowder, 17-6-3, while Marcus Smart, still starting for Avery Bradley, at 13-5.
I'm contemplating playing Jaylen Brown tonight against the Houston Rockets. Amir Johnson started the game, and Jaylen Brown started the second half of that game. So I'm interested in the Celtics lineup come out tonight in the starting lineup. Jaylen Brown played 24 minutes in last night's contest. He had 8 points, 5 rebounds, and assist in an up-and-down style with a 230 total and a minimum salary tonight. Jaylen Brown, if he gets a starting opportunity, is a guy I'll have in my lineup.
Along the same lines, not as cheap, but I like Jay Crowder tonight against Houston as well. Just for the record.
Yes. I really, if Amir Johnson stays in the starting lineup,
yep.
Jay Crowder becomes a really good play.
Okay. The Bulls defeated the Magic last night, 100-92. Jimmy Butler put up 28-4, 3 steals. D Wade had 21 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Get this.
7
steals last night for Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, that made it a monster night.
Exactly.
Yeah, Benny loved him last night.
Really?
And, yeah, Benny loved him last night. And the thing is, when you look at this game, Butler, it just adds up to 43 fantasy points at the end of the night. If you watch this game, he didn't look special. He took a while to get on the scoreboard. He shot 50% from the field, but he didn't shoot enough last night, and it was frustrating. But that tells you how much the offense goes through him. They only put up 100 points, and yet this is a guy that looked like he wasn't doing anything in 43 points. He has become that player, and he contributes in every category. Like the three steals is something that he can do each and every night.
For the Magic, all five starters were in double digits, and the good news with all these injuries is at least we know who's going to play now, right? Like, there's no question who's going to play and put up some numbers, and we saw it last night. Nikola Vucevic had 20-8, while you had Serge Ibaka 16-8, Aaron Gordon at 13, Jeff Green entered the starting lineup, he had 13-7, Alfred Payton, he was kind of disappointing last night because he had 8 turnovers with 10 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Yeah. He was well-owned.
Certainly.
I liked him last night, and thank God that some of those San Antonio situations and everything ended up taking him out of my lineup. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, because he's been playing very well, and he's getting 37 minutes of play. They go up and down the court, and when you look at Chicago, not a great defensive point guard in the mix there. He just didn't play well last night.
He was in my lineup last night because the matchup was right, and you knew he was going to get 40 minutes. So he was in my lineup last night. I was able to cash in.
They asked you fellas about Cristiano Felicio.
Cristiano Felicio?
Yes. Cristiano Felicio. 20 minutes last night and got a dub. What's up with that? Nothing?
No.
He does that every once in a while.
Keep it moving.
Every once in a while, this guy puts up. No, this guy puts up a nickname every once in a while, but there's no predictability to it. Like, you never know when it's going to come, and you never know when he's going to get into the lineup and play even, 15 minutes, 20 minutes a game.
Final game of the night was a really fun one, as Tony mentioned at the top of the show, and it caused a lot of people to cash, myself included. Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Phoenix Suns by 112-111, led by Andrew Wiggins, 31-6. Karl Anthony Towns had 18-10. Gorgui Dieng, 16-9. Ricky Rubio returns to the starting lineup with 14-10. And once again, Zach LaVine only takes 9 shots. Winning formula for Minnesota, 11 points and 4 assists.
The other thing you see in this game, Zach LaVine, the lowest minutes he's played during a game this year is 33. He played 34 again last night, so they've cut his minutes back.
Shabazz Muhammad 27,
Yeah, 27 minutes last night. He's a guy, depending on what site you play on, look at his salary. He's getting the minutes. He's coming off the bench. And last night, he had 16-3, but he usually gets more rebounds than that. You can do a little better than that. And Wiggins has really taken off from a scoring perspective. Mm-hmm. I was a little concerned because he's had the big games when Rubio wasn't playing or left the game. He was able to do that with Rubio in the lineup last night. There. And Gorgui Dieng, he's a good player, but you can't count on him in daily fantasy, because there are nights when Karl Anthony Towns goes off, he doesn't put up the numbers. Last night you saw Karl Anthony Towns take a step back and not really put up the big fantasy nights he's been putting up. And then Dieng has another good game, 16 points and 9. I gotta stay away from Dieng unless his price really drops in a good matchup, because Karl Anthony Towns and him just do not put up big games in the same. So he's more of a cash play, Dieng, than he would ever be in putting him in a tournament game.
For Phoenix last night, Tyson Chandler, we've talked about this the last couple of times the Suns have played. He's just been unbelievable as of late. 35 minutes last night for the old man. 22 points, 17 rebounds last night with 2 blocks.
That's a grown man double-double right there for the veteran.
Certainly is.
$5,700 was the price. Just destroyed his value. Went all over the place last night. Took 9, had his customary 9 field goal attempts. Shot 1,000, made all of them, you know what I mean? So Tyson Chandler getting it done. How old? Tyson Chandler got to be 37?
Well, he came out of high school, remember?
Oh, yeah, he did. So he got a head start.
34.
Came out of high school the same time as Eddie Curry. Okay.
34.
Mm-hmm. 34 years old.
Yes, he did. So there you go.
15 years in the NBA. Do we ever have an NBA? Let me ask a question. I hate to accuse people, but I see this and I go crazy. Who was the last NBA player to be suspended for steroids?
NBA PED suspensions.
Well, there's always whispers about that, right?
Right. I'm pretty sure this isn't the only sport where everyone's clean.
Seems
I'm pretty
unlikely.
Sure. And when I see guys,
you know who it was? I remember. Hedo Turkoglu. Remember, he was suspended for steroids.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He was suspended for steroids.
Yeah,
I remember that.
This guy. this guy's playing out of his mind. And I was talking about the Karl Anthony Towns matchup, and we weren't sure if Tyson Chandler was going to cover him or not and how this was going to play out, because I said, you know, Tyson Chandler is pretty aggressive defensively, and this isn't an easy matchup, even though on paper it looks like that the center position does well against Phoenix Suns because they're so poor defensively, everybody does well. But he played monster game, and he was only in the $5,000 range last night on DraftKings.
According to what I'm seeing, other players that we know that have been suspended by the NBA for steroid use or a precursor to steroid use, which at the time was like a 10-game suspension, Hedo Turkoglu of the Magic, Rashad Lewis of the Magic, O.J. Mayo.
Oh.
Yep, O.J. Mayo.
I forgot about Rashad Lewis. That was weird.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
The Rashad Lewis, I remember that happened. He was on the Orlando Magic when that happened.
Yes, he was. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, it's basketball is a sport that they don't get all fired up about. It's like the football thing, right? You get a 4-game suspension and then everybody forgets about it.
Right, exactly. Eric Bledsoe at 18-7.
Hold on, but Mayo blamed it on a gas station energy drink.
That seems unlikely. Devin Booker had 26-4, and Alex Len also had a double-double. So the big man ravaged Minnesota last night, but it was not enough to get the W. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'll shift over to baseball. 9 o'clock hour, we'll make some FanDuel lineups. But coming up next, we turn our attention to the Diamond. A poll question from Tony Cincotta. Next, here on the Roto Experts. Yeah, Corey Parson.
Yo.
Tony Cincotta, of course.
Yes, yes,
well,
yes.
We're talking a little
Major League Baseball.
A little Major League Baseball. Poll questions, which Tony's putting out there on Twitter all the time, regularly, or with regularity, some would say.
I would struggle with that one, too.
It's the regularity,
see,
I think.
Regularity. See, I don't know something familiarity. About those words.
See, the thing with familiarity is you put in too many syllables. That's
I think
your problem.
With regularity, I put too many syllables
it's
in
it's regularity.
Too. Regularity.
There you go.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm helping you out here.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Some people wouldn't help you. They would just laugh at you behind your back.
I would never do that to
you.
No, 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 no. With regularity, Tony putting up poll questions on Twitter. And with the FSTA draft, we're going to go over a team today as well. So
whose
let's,
team are we going? Oh, you didn't have to decide.
Well, yeah, we'll get there. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
As we do this.
No reason to.
But we talked a lot about Billy Hamilton yesterday. Mm-hmm. These speed guys, right? Wait, Jonathan VR, for instance. And those are some of these younger hitters. So Tony's poll question was, which one of these young pitchers rebounds in 2016? Jose Berrios, Lucas Giolito, now in Chicago, Tyler Glasnow, or Blake Snell? Tony, you posted the question. What are you thinking?
I think, to me, it's Tyler Glasnow. We're talking about a physical freak, right? And when you're a young pitcher, some of these big guys out there, much like Randy Johnson, people forget Randy Johnson when he first came into the league. He walked everybody, right? He had a lot of problems repeating his mechanics, came out in the Montreal organization, and just couldn't put it together. And then all of a sudden, it clicked. And I see the same thing with the 6'8 pitcher. He disappointed last year. I think a lot of people will give up on him. He has a great pitching coach. He pitches in a great pitcher's ballpark. We're talking about a strikeout per inning guy. To me, it's Tyler Glasnow.
So I also lean Tyler Glasnow because, and simple reason really, he's the only one of these guys pitching in the NL. And I like those NL pitchers. I like someone in Pittsburgh. And you got Lucas Giolito heading on over to Chicago. U.S. Cellular is not a friendly field to pitchers. You have Jose Berrios really, really struggled his first taste of the majors in Minnesota. But I think I'll be back on him if he could figure it out. And then Blake Snell, who I really do like. I like Blake Snell. He probably would have been second for me because I think he's going to be good. But I think Tyler Glasnow, for the reasons you need, he's a big pitcher. He's got a good arm. Just stay healthy. Pitch those innings in Pittsburgh. He's going to be fine. I like him.
Well, I mean, let's talk about Trevor Bauer, though. Listen, I understand he hasn't really lived up to.
Trevor Bauer's not in this poll, buddy.
Is the wrong one?
Wrong poll you're looking at. The one above the one you're looking at.
Tyler Glasnow.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. Well, I'm ready to talk about Trevor Bauer, though.
It's okay.
You know what's Blake Snell? Here's the one thing with Snell. is the Tampa Bay organization has done such a great job with young pitchers. Now, when everybody went crazy about him coming up and spending all their fab money on him,
yeah,
I thought it was crazy because he was walking too many guys. And then even last year, he walked too many guys. But he's going to get better. They've had a proven track record of working with these guys, making them better. Now, seeing him go in this late in drafts, to get a strikeout per inning guy that late, I think he'll go up in drafts, but I'm in. I like him, and I like both these guys. Like, if you wait on pitching, you end up with these guys, you're going to be all right.
Oh, I totally agree. Like I said to you yesterday, I said to you a moment ago, my favorite two on that list is Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow. Like, those two guys, they're going to be good, I think. Maybe not immediately, but they're going to be good.
Yeah.
I think so.
And they'll have the one or two games where they'll blow up, just like any other.
Yeah,
pitcher.
No, of course.
But you know, if you get 25 starts out of them, you know, I think they both have an opportunity to come under 3 ERA. I mean, even if you look at Snell's numbers, even with all the walks last year, his ERA was 3.5.
It's crazy.
And he was putting guys on for free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the pollsters, fake news, alternative facts, questionable polling, they actually voted for Lucas Giolito to win that.
Yeah, they love that guy.
Why now?
They love this kid.
Do you think a lot of them still think he's on Washington?
No, I think that people just think he is the next coming. I listened to Fantasy Black Book last night, and Dan Strafford and Joe Pisapia, and Dan Strafford was like throwing up. He was so upset over this trade that the Washington Nationals made, and they couldn't believe that they gave up for this young player. And you look at it, the one difference between Giolito to me, when you take the ballpark and take everything out of play, if I'm just looking at the skill level, he doesn't have the strikeout potential as those other two guys do. And when you look at it and you're attributing fantasy baseball to players, you need the strikeout totals. And a lot of people project him as a 7.5 guy, where these other guys are strikeout per inning. That really hurts.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Where would you take these guys? All right, you said you like Tyler Glasnow the best. Where would you take him, Tony?
Yeah, so when we start getting to double-digit rounds, I think the pitching is a huge drop-off.
Okay.
So I would start looking at 12-team league, 11th to 12th round. I would start looking at that.
In the FSTA draft, which took place a couple nights ago, Tyler Glasnow went in the 22nd round.
That's about right there.
Is that right for you? Tony said he would take him 10 rounds earlier.
Well, you got to think.
And so here's the difference. When we do the expert drafts,
yeah,
those people are very, very conservative.
Yeah.
Very conservative. They've been doing this for years, the same people there. When you have in a regular league, the population is now into dynasty leagues. They all follow minor league baseball, and they all go over an abundance of
right.
these young players. So in your regular league, there's no way he's going to last that long.
But that's crazy. Like in expert league, I thought he would go earlier because people know, like, the experts really seemingly should know what's going on, you'd think.
But yeah, they err on the side of caution. First of all,
true.
Yeah, the pitching is always late too as well.
Okay, that's a good point.
Playing pitcher chicken. Then
you had Blake Snell go in the 18th round of the FSTA, and then you had Giolito go in the 25th. Is that right? Is that early? Is that late? What are you thinking, Tony and Corey?
They're going to push
up. I think there's a chance Giolito, though, might not make the rotation, so that's going to be a problem because they might slow roll him.
All right, so there you go. So they could slow roll him, as you heard from Tony there. The Corey, what about you? Where are you there?
I think I agree with Tony on this one, mainly because of the fact that you never know when a chance he's going to get up and get with the ball club to try to get the innings. But the people are enamored with the talent, you know what I mean? Even though the prospect, you know, he's a big-time prospect, they're enamored with the talent, so I think, you know, try to be that guy that's smarter than everybody else. But still, when you can get a good value on him, you let him slip down the draft board. But he's going to be a guy that in some of these NFBC drafts over there, people are going to take a flyer on, thinking they may be able to strike a little bit gold later on in the year. So he will be owned in the majority of leagues. It's just a matter of time until, you know, people put him on the waiver wire again.
We'll talk. You're not a fan of him?
He's decent.
Not interested. Okay. We'll talk more about some of these young pitchers and a lot more about pitching in general on the other side of this. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Younger pitchers, where they're going in the FSTA draft. The one name we kind of left off. Yes, yes. What's the Tony?
Yeah, I got their ADPs from the NFBC.
Oh, okay, cool.
So 29 drafts.
Yes.
It's interesting. Glasnow is going 297 overall, and he's been picked as early as 235.
So that's like where?
So it's 15 team league, so that would be the 20th round.
So they're going much later than we expected. We're Glasnow.
Yeah, so this is the interesting part. Jameson Taillon, his teammate,
right,
is going 150 overall.
Holy crap. That's a lot of picks earlier. What makes Taillon so much better?
These guys both came out with a big track record, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were both early draft picks. Taillon, of course, had the injuries. But he's an older pitcher, and I think that people see him as definitely being in the rotation with his concerns with Glasnow being out of the rotation. And you look at what he is. He's a 25-year-old pitcher. And last year, again, the strikeout totals for me are not there. But he had a 3.38 ERA in 104 innings, but the 7.36 is there. So you don't have the upside for Mkhitaryan, but he's a guy that people are jumping on, and the strikeout totals won't be there. And I think he's being overdrafted there. And it's interesting that Glasnow is actually going after Ivan Nova. Nova's being picked four picks ahead of him.
So, okay. Flory, let's put up this poll question then, because I'm really interested, given that Nova and Taillon both going over Glasnow, which I don't know makes that much sense. I want to put a poll question up there, asking our listeners which one of those three they would prefer, of those three. No, Ivan Nova, Tyler Glasnow, or Jameson Taillon, because I'm very interested in hearing this. Because I haven't done enough research, in all honesty, to figure out which one of the three that I would like best. But it wouldn't be this stark contrast where I'm waiting 10 rounds later to pick one guy.
Yeah, Snell's going 246 overall. He's been picked as early as 207 and as late as 291. So 246 overall is getting him, you know, almost to the, he's around the 17th round.
And what about Jose Berríos? We have not mentioned him yet. He was also in this poll. Berríos was, what, the top pitching prospect in baseball last year, came up, really struggled with the Twins. Now nobody's talking about him anymore. What do you think of him?
He's actually going 371.
So he's not being drafted in some leagues, right?
Yeah. So here's the way I look at it is I was a guy that drafted him last year in the auction. So I paid a buck for him, and I left him on my roster all year until he came up. And then I paid the price. I will do it again. I will do it again this year. I'm not. And in fact, I know the good thing for me is now I know I'll get him for a buck.
Right. And I'm thinking the same thing. So I also drafted him early. I held him on my team all year until he got called up. He got called up pretty early on, right? May or June. And he stunk. Went back to the minors. Came back up. Stunk again. What positive signs did you see out of him that makes you want to draft him again?
He has he has good stuff, and he has a decent K to nine. But the fastball is what everybody thinks is electric right there. So that's the reason why he's going to get another couple of stints in the big leagues this year, mainly because of the fastball. And but other than that, though, he was terrible when he came up. But still, he has the good pedigree. Some of these pitchers, it takes a little bit of time. So a dollar make you holler late on in your draft is not an issue for me.
We're going to, of course, as we get even closer to draft season, like find this year's version of these guys, right? Like this year's version of Taillon and Glasnow and Berríos. Is there a name right now, though, Tony, that comes to mind?
No, I think these are the guys that I'm actually I don't like to gamble on guys in the draft. Like if you see him come up in a waiver wire, you jump on him. But I think a lot of people get overrated. But I think what you got to look at is the guys that had the opportunity and failed. Like Berríos is a guy that his K per nine was 10. Now the only thing you could say negative is he only uses three pitches. Maybe that's a problem as a starting pitcher, and he needs to develop another pitch, and that's what his issue was. But the stuff is so electric. I'm going to go back to the well with those guys there with Snell and the Glasnow there. And I think a lot of times fantasy owners are very fickle. And if they had him on the team last year, they just won't do that again. And it's a huge mistake, especially when we're talking about 22-year-old pitchers.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's so obviously still time for these people to grow, right? Like, there's still time for them to figure their crap out. Kind of like your boy, Corey, Trevor Bauer last year, who didn't even start the year in the rotation, started the year in the bullpen, injuries caused him to go to the rotation. He wound up pitching the entire year in that rotation, including in the World Series. And he's going to be, I would think, a reliable member, or I hope to be a reliable member of the Indians rotation once again. Bauer in drafts, still not going until the 19th round, though. Is that fair?
Yeah, that still should be about where he goes. Still want to see.
Why?
Because just people still want to see it first. They're not going to pay up.
We've been waiting a decade for Trevor Bauer. Seriously.
But still, last season, listen, the K-9 was good. And also, he has good stuff, too. So you want to kind of see him start to get those innings up. The strikeouts are going to be there. So I think that he's the guy that fantasy owners can look at in that double-digit round range. I would think it also, Greg, that it would be a little bit higher than that.
You think it would be far higher than that?
Huh?
You think what would be what higher?
His ADP.
You think it should be higher as in like?
I think it pushes up as you get closer to draft day.
All right, we'll talk more about Trevor Bauer, some more of these young pitchers, and we're gonna get into a team in the FSTA draft. And guess who drafted Trevor Bauer? Our guys, Mike Giordano, Chris Meaney. We'll talk about Bauer, get Tony's opinion next. Be on the Rush Pulse.